Good morning. Hey, thanks for being out here this morning. I'm doing a couple, usually I do sermons in series for a while, but there's a couple of Sundays that I'm not able to do it in a series, and so I just kind of thought, just talk about a few things. I think sometimes we feel insignificant. We feel like we really don't matter. As if I wasn't here, who would really miss me? We get that at work. Thanks, Joe. We get that at work where we're overlooked for a promotion or where we're just kind of dismissed. In other words, we're kind of invisible. We sometimes feel that way at home where we do something and nobody recognizes it. We're not doing it for recognition, but we just don't get recognized. We just feel like, what really kind of contribution am I making? It deals with self-esteem, self-worth, and I think we feel that way. I can remember when I was a little boy playing baseball. I was 9 years old. We didn't do T-ball, and we didn't start off with kid pitch or coach pitch. We started off with kid pitch, and we started at 9 years old, and we went up to 12 years old. 12-year-old boys can be big. And as a 9-year-old boy, I was skinny and little, and they petrified me. And, they would throw the ball, and I thought for sure they were going to kill me. And, you know, you have your helmet and everything like that, and so I can still remember when I got up to bat, and I would be up there, and, you know, and they're on the mound as if they weren't tall enough. They're on this big mound. And they throw the ball, and so pretty much, you know, the ball goes in, and then I swing. I was up the first time, and I struck out. I was up the second time, and I struck out. And I knew how to hit the ball, but I was just so intimidated by that guy. And there is nothing sadder than having to walk back to a dugout after you've struck out. Have you ever done that? Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, it's like every eye is on you, you know, and you go back and you go back, sit back, and nobody talks to you. You just kind of sit there, take your helmet off, get your glove, ready to go back out into, you know, right field, wherever they have you, you know, playing or stuff like that. So my coach got me down. He says, Greg, he said, try this. He said, when you get up to bat, just don't swing. He said, just scrounge down really small. And he said, make the strike zone really small and see if he'll walk you. So I tried it. He said, you don't have to swing at all. Don't swing. Just stand there. They're not that good of a pitcher. And so I stood there, 1, 2, 3, 4 balls, and I was on first base. And, you know, and the kids in the dugout applauded me, you know? You know, the strikeout king. Okay. Well, here's the deal. That first year, I never got a hit the whole first year. I never even hit the ball into fair territory so that they would throw me out. However, I ended up getting 16 walks and 2 strikeouts, and I had the best on-base percentage of anybody else on the team. Because, first time I ever got applauded for baseball. Because my coach found my niche. He found out that I was short, that I didn't have the bat swing fast enough to hit the ball, and so he might as well take a walk. And, you know, I think sometimes in life we feel insignificant because sometimes we're doing things that we weren't supposed to. We haven't found our niche. We need to find something that either we're good at or we can do, or that fulfills us. And that's what I want to talk about today in the church and for Jesus, is many of us need to find our niche and just do it. What is it that God has gifted me for? Discover your ministry. There is something that God has creatively designed you to perform. And it is not going to be like anybody else. So we can't even compare you to how somebody else does it. but you are unique. And he wants you to take what you have and use it for him. It's kind of like in the baseball, you know, I didn't hit the ball, but the one thing I did was I at least got up to bat. And I just want to encourage some of you to at least take what gifts and talents and abilities and experiences and whatever it is that God has kind of put together in you and get up to bat for Jesus and find out what he wants you to do. We're going to look in Ephesians chapter 4. Chris has been doing a good job in looking at some of the passages at Ephesians, and so he's going to get to mine, but I want to do this very briefly. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to see how God has designed a church to work and how it can work together to accomplish the big thing that God wants for us to do. The big thing that God wants us to do is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a big thing, but no one person can do it. And as a matter of fact, no one church can do it. But as we work together, members of our congregation work together and churches work together, we might be able to see the Great Commission be able to have a reality that we can reach the world for Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin in verse 11. And I'm going to try to explain them a verse at a time, just a real simple explanation. I'm not going to go into great detail, but a real simple explanation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he," that is talking about Jesus, "and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. He gave these people leadership. We no longer have apostles and prophets anymore because we have the final word of God, but we still have evangelists and pastors and teachers. And God has given those people as in positions of leadership in the church, and here's why. Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The purpose of a pastor, myself and Chris, purpose of a pastor of a church is to perfect the saints. That means to mature the saints. Help the Christians become better Christians. Help them grow in the Lord so that they can do the work of the ministry. In other words, my job as a minister is not to do the ministry. My job as a Christian is to do the ministry. But our job is to help Christians be better so that they can do the ministry. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify is a weird word. But you know, what is an edifice? Does anybody know what an edifice is? It's a building. That's the noun. Edify means to build up something. God wants his kingdom to grow. God wants his church to grow. And the way he does that is he puts people into leadership that are pastors and teachers and evangelists. And their job is to help the saints, help the Christians become better so they can do the work of the ministry so that the congregation grows, so that the church grows, so that we're outreaching new people. And so we're bringing in more people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We're supposed to do that until we're all unified to be just like Jesus. In reality, that will never happen until Jesus comes back, but that's our goal. Our goal is to keep reaching people and building the church and doing that. And he says in verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive." Don't go back and forth like a kid. You know how kids do? They like this, they don't like this. They want to play, they don't want to play. They're happy, they're sad. Don't be like that. Don't be immature. He says we want to help Christians become mature so they're not just listening to this and listening to that. Let me just give you a warning. Be careful what you listen to for your spiritual nourishment, because there's a lot of things out there that are ear candy. They will tell you what you want to hear, but they're not based on the truth. And what Paul encourages here in this passage is that we want to make sure that we're well grounded in God's word so that we're not carried off with some doctrine that comes along to pull us away from where we need to be. And that happens a lot. And he says in verse 15, "but speak the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." That's one of my favorite verses, favorite phrases in the Bible. Speak the truth in love. Tell the truth, but do it in love. There are a lot of people that tell the truth, but they're not very loving about it. And there's a lot of people that speak love, but they're not telling the truth. And Paul says, you need to speak the truth of God's word, but do it in love so that we can grow together. And he says in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a lot of mouthful of stuff. But what he's using is, he's using the comparison of a body. You know, when a body works right, all the parts work together so that it can do what it's supposed to do. When one of your parts doesn't work, isn't it a mess? When your knee goes out, when your back hurts, when you have a headache, when you have a hangnail, all of a sudden you just don't work like you're supposed to. But when the body works together, every part, every joint, everything is working the way it should, you get some things done. Athletes understand this. Those of us that go to, when you go to work and you have to do physical labor, you understand how debilitating it can be when certain parts of your body don't do what they're supposed to do. And so he says, this is how it works, that we don't want to be tossed around, but you know what? We want this body to be able to work together, to become more and more and more like Jesus, to reach more and more people. So I just have some simple principles that I want to share with you about this whole concept of discovering your ministry that you may not, most of you are aware of this, but you may not quite understand it. First of all, every member is a minister. Every member of the body of Christ, every member of Faith Baptist Church is a minister. You may not be a pastor, you may not have the vocation of a minister, but you are a minister. You are a vital part. You're not just listening, you're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be ministering. And I know we have people that we elevate to positions of leadership, and we elevate to positions of to be a minister, or they are in the ministry. But every one of us are called by God to serve him in some way and in some capacity. And this is what's kind of odd, me as a pastor. There's some things that they would expect me to do that they would never do. I would expect pastor to share the gospel with somebody. I would expect pastor to go to church. I would expect pastor to give a certain amount of money. But I'm not going to do that. And why should he do that? Because he is a minister. Well, let me just put out. I have the vocation and the calling of being a pastor, but we are all ministers. We all are supposed to find that opportunity to serve God. Every believer is a minister, and every ministry is important. Every one of those, every ministry is important. There are no little people in God's world, and there are no little ministries. I just left Children's Church. My, 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 what a place that is in that middle room. I was looking, and I noticed that the Cruisenberry family wasn't there. And I said, oh, the Cruisenberries aren't here. Well, in walks Erlyn, and she says, the Cruisenberries are here. And I thought I was going back about 20 years when Dan and Matt and Mauro Cruisenberry would come in, and we go, oh, no, here they come. Well, this is a whole new wave of Cruisenberries come in. But you know what? Children's Church is just as important as this. The nursery is just as important as this. And I know some have maybe greater impact, but every ministry is important. Mowing the grass is so important. Cleaning the church is so important. Doing funeral dinners for families is important. Putting together the bulletins is important. Every ministry that we have is important. And sometimes we just look at the upfront onstage ministries, the speaking and the singing, because they are, you know, they get more time. They get more face. They get more, you know, looking at us. But these are not so important as all the others. What's the most important light in your house? Not the pretty chandelier in a dining room. It's the night light in the middle of the night when you get up so you don't stub your toe. That's the important one. And so sometimes we kind of got this mixed up. Everybody that is doing something for Jesus, that is all important. And then we are dependent on each other. Do you notice what he says? Every joint supplies. Do you realize that my body is dependent on all the rest of my body? I can't talk unless my lungs are taking in air. I can't stand up unless my heart is pumping enough blood to keep me going. Otherwise, I'm going to pass out. I can't stand up unless my ankles and my knees and my hips are able to hold me erect. We all know that we are dependent on each other in our body, but we are dependent on every person. And here's what happens. If God wants somebody to serve him in some capacity, and they decide, it really doesn't matter if I show up or if I don't show up, if I serve or if I don't serve, so you know what? I'm just going to sit back and let it happen. One of two things happens. Number one, somebody else who is not perfectly gifted in that area has to do it because it's something that needs to be done, or it just doesn't get done. It's just left beside it. And God's commission, God's church, God's kingdom is stunted. And so what happens is we're all dependent on each other. We need each other to be able to help. And just like a body, we need each other. And this is the final one, is that ministry is the expression of our uniqueness. As I say, there are no cookie-cutter Christians. There aren't any. Everybody has some unique capacity. God has been working in you even before you were a Christian, even before you were born. In your conception, the very DNA has created just this unique you. Let's be very honest. Some people are more unique than others. Can we say that kindly? You know, some people are odd. But you know what I found out? God uses odd people in unbelievable ways. And so we're a one of a kind. There is nobody going to be like us, and there is nobody that is going to minister just like you. You could have a drummer doing the same song, and he or she is going to do it different. Somebody's going to sing it different. Somebody's going to teach it different. And God has just that right person to be able to hear that, and it responds. So we're going to be unique. So let me give you some of the areas that maybe we're unique, that maybe you haven't thought of. So seven unique contributions God has been building in you to allow you to serve. Spiritual gifts. Every believer in Jesus Christ has at least one spiritual gift or blend of gifts, possibly more, so that you are different. Spiritual gift of teaching, spiritual gift of giving, spiritual gift of shepherding or pastoring, spiritual gift of administration and organization. There's several different kinds of gifts, and God has placed within you the supernatural capacity to serve him in a unique way. Sometimes it blends with your talent, sometimes it is not. So a spiritual gift, your heart, your passion. Some of us are passionate about children. Some of us are passionate about adults. Some of us are passionate about music. Some people could care less about music. There's something that it just motivates us. It's something that you don't have to ask us to do. We just love to do that. Abilities, talents. There's some people that are mechanical. Some people aren't. Some people are musical. Some people aren't. Some people can talk. Some people just don't talk. We have some abilities, education, intelligence. There are certain abilities that some people have, and either because of our training that we have or what we do, or maybe our direction of our passion, we have some abilities. Our personalities. I think that in a family, that is one of the number one areas that there's conflict, is because you have different personalities, different temperaments. Doesn't mean that one is right or wrong. It's just that our emotions are different. Our emotions are different. Some people are outgoing. They're there. When they arrive, the party has arrived. When they leave, the party is pretty much over with. You know, they're the life of the party. You have other people that they would just as soon sit in the back and watch things happen. You have some people that blend together. You have different personalities that do things. Experiences. Wow. Different experiences. How we were brought up. What kind of family we came from. What kind of vocation we've been involved in. Our college or non-college. Did we go to military? We've got some experiences. Have we been divorced? Have we gone through a family member committing suicide? Do we deal with these kind of things within our family? What kind of experiences have we gone through? What are the highs and the lows that we've gone through in life? And so that makes us completely unique than anybody else. The time. Now, I know we all have 24 hours in a day, but let's just face it. I don't want to stereotype, but when you're retired, you tend to have more available time than when you have about 8 kids at home under the age of 12. Okay? If you have a full-time job, you have less time available than somebody that doesn't have a full-time job. And so there, we might have some available time that is different in all of us. And then our spiritual maturity. Some people aren't Christians. Some people are brand new Christians. They've been a Christian maybe for 2 or 3 or 4 months. Some people have been a Christian for 10, 15 years. Some of you have been Christians for my daughter-in-law, Shana. Her grandmother passed away, and they had the funeral in Port Clinton. And she and her husband, the grandma and grandpa, had been married for 65 years. And had been married at that church and had been members at that church in, I think it was in Fremont, for 65 years. Some of you have been Christians longer than most of us have been alive. And so the spiritual maturity. So these things all together, and it's kind of good to recognize, you know, how God has created us and how he has made us and how he has formed us, and we're different than other people. And I really do believe this. I believe that God has something that we can do to serve him. And you might say, okay, tell me what it is. I can't. Okay? If you come to me, I will guide you in a direction. I will maybe say, hey, we have a need in junior church. Can you help in junior church? Okay? But the best way to find out how God has gifted you is not necessarily take a test to find out what you're good at. It's do what I did in Little League. Just get up to bat. You know? Just get up there. Just try something. At the very least, you'll find out, oh, that's not what I'm gifted at. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? You know? yeah. Sometimes it's hard to tell somebody that this isn't your area, isn't it? You know? When you have somebody that brings that dish to the dinner, and you have to kind of slide it off to the side so that nobody eats that dish. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to tell them because they want to volunteer. So what happens is the best thing to do is say, you know what, I'm going to try it. I'm going to get involved in this area. There's a need. I'm going to get involved in this area. And God begins to deal with you about where he wants you to go. I talked about this a couple weeks ago about how God used the fishermen. God loves busy people. God loves to move a moving target in the direction that he wants. As you begin to serve God, he will begin to help you discover what it is that he wants you to have. It's less a position and more a passion. So I would just encourage you to get involved in something. Again, I talked about our children's ministry. That's a great, our Awana starts tonight. That's a great area to get involved in. Children's church, nursery, that's a great area to get involved in. Hospitality, greeting people, welcoming people, making coffee, helping people feel welcome, ushering people in. That's a great opportunity to help. We have Bible publishing where we put together Bibles and staple and stuff like that. It takes a little bit of talent. You know, you got to have at least some, you know, pretty much most of your fingers to be able to do that kind of a thing. But to put Bibles together so we can send them out to missionaries so they can give them to other people so people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of opportunities to be able to help. The music up here, you know, if you have some talent or some ability to play an instrument, you know, a lot of those. I'll tell you what, there's an opportunity for everybody to serve. But I'll tell you this, anybody can. Anybody can. We have a person here I want to talk. Joe, would you mind talking with me just for a second? Would you mind coming up here and talking with me for a second? Yeah, you. Come on up here, Joe. This is one of my favorite guys. This is Joe. Joe became a member over this past summer. Come on up here, Joe. I want everybody to see this great guy here. This is Joe. Everybody say hi, Joe. Hi, Joe. All right. Okay, Joe, turn around. Look at all these people. Aren't they scary looking? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is Joe. Joe, how long have you been coming to our church?
Oh, 8 years?
Nah, probably about 8 months.
8 months?
Yeah, it's been a while. So let me ask you this. What do they have you doing at our church? What do you get to do at our church?
Passing out bulletins.
Yeah, you pass out bulletins. Where do you pass them out at? What door do you pass them out? Over there in that back door. Yeah, when people come in, get a bulletin. Do you like doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? It feels good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, you used to go to another church before you came here.
Yep.
What happened?
I got kicked out.
Yeah. They asked Joe to leave his their church, and he wasn't able to go there. But you like coming here, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We like you coming here.
Yep.
And you can help pass out bulletins and help people out, help people find a seat.
Yep.
What else do you like going on around here?
Oh.
Do you like to sing?
Sing and have coffee and have a great time here.
All right, good. Okay, well, Joe, I'll let you go back and sit down. You can go back and sit down a minute. Most of you know Joe. Joe gets around, you know. He comes in with Gary. Gary picks him up. Gary Shipman picks him up in the van and brings him in here. Joe has his difficulties, doesn't he? Yeah. Joe's had his struggles. Joe's a lifelong resident of Adrian. And he's tried some churches. They haven't always worked out. Sometimes it's because of Joe's difficulty. Sometimes it's not always that way. But Joe found a niche. He found out something that he's good at. He can stand back at that back door and take a bulletin and hand it to people. He also likes to drink coffee, and he likes to eat. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he forgot that one. Wait till we have Waffle Sunday again, he'll be here. But Joe found an opportunity. He said, you know what? I want to help somewhere. And I just want to ask you a real simple question. Joe's found his niche. When are you going to find yours? I think Joe has every excuse to not do anything. Insignificant. But you know what? God has created Joe to be exactly who he is and what he does. And he has a unique contribution that nobody else can do it like Joe. And you know what? You have the same. God has created you to be somebody for him. I just want you to say, Lord, here I am. What can I do? How can I help your kingdom, your church? What do you want me to do? If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me just remind you, you are not insignificant. I don't know what your experiences are. I don't know what journey you've been on. I don't know what difficulties you've had. But God loves you so much that he allowed his son to die on a cross to pay for all the sins you've committed and to provide a perfect place for you in heaven. And if you will receive his son as your personal Savior, he'll save your soul. And those of us that are Christians, my, what a gift we have been given in salvation. God has gifted us and given us so, what a wonderful life we have. Now our gift back to him is to use this life for him. And I encourage you to find that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I just want you to talk to God about it. I really honestly want you to spend a couple of minutes saying, God, what do you want me to do? And if he impresses you to do something, or if there's something you've been thinking about doing, I encourage you to just step out. If you want to come down here in the front, Barb's going to play, our pianist is going to play through, and if you want to come down here and just talk to God about that, say, God, here I am. I'll try that. I want to test it out. That's okay. I do not want you to squander what God has given you and use it just for yourself or just to let it go. Give it to him. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'll be down here in front. You can come up and talk to me. I'd love to explain to you about the gospel, or maybe after service or something like that. You can even pray right now to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, to surrender your life to him as Lord and Savior. Again, in a few minutes, Barb's going to play through a song, and we're going to just take a few minutes, allow people to make that decision. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that Jesus has done for us. And now, Father, this is one of those messages that really we need to determine what we're going to do for him. The gifting that we have, the experiences, all those things that you have placed in our life, we're a special, unique creation of you. And we can make a unique contribution to your kingdom. And Father, I pray that each of us would look and see how we can serve you the best, to serve you the way you have made us. Father, I pray also for those who've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, what a gift they could receive today in receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we thank you, Father, for this wonderful time. We pray that you'd bless this song. As we make decisions today, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.